We're here to talk about, to have a symposium of sorts on one of the most evil companies in Canada, a company that is really at the center of the political debate right now, and I think has rightly become a lightning rod for people's anger in the current political and economic moment. We're here to talk about Loblaws, which I'll just note from the latest reporting at CBC, apparently they just had a shareholder meeting, and they're reporting $13.6 billion in the first quarter. That's of revenue.
Good for them.
And that is, yeah. So an auspicious start, as this month there is a popular subreddit, Loblaws is out of control, which is promoting a nationwide boycott of this company because, guess what? Grocery prices are completely out of control here. I actually don't know how this compares to other jurisdictions. If either of you guys know, feel free to chip in with that. But I mean, this subreddit, which has over 50,000 people on it now, I mean, they've been cataloging for months. You know, it's like people going to these grocery stores and $30 feta cheese. One of my favorite ones was just pieces of wood being sold for $10 a pop, like not firewood, not useful wood, just pieces of wood. $8 bags of chips, $37 chicken breast. That's the kind of things we're dealing with here. Now, there's so much to talk about, and I can see you both are kind of vibrating, as am I, to get into this. But maybe we can just actually begin with the boycott. And here I want to bring in you, David, because you wrote a recent piece for The Walrus called Loblaws has become an everything company. And we're at the beginning of May now. This boycott started. It is going to be a rather difficult boycott, I feel, to carry out effectively, because as the title of your piece suggests, this company kind of just owns everything, and it's more than a grocery company. So can you expound a bit on what Loblaws is, kind of what the scale of the company is, and all of the different things that it now kind of has its fingers in?
Yeah. And for American listeners, I mean, this is like, imagine if Kroger's owned everything. Okay. So just imagine if, you know, Kroger's owns everything. Everywhere you go, it's a brand of or a subsidiary of Kroger's. Because Loblaws is a little complex. Loblaws is a grocery store. Loblaw is the overarching company that owns it and everything else. And to give you a sense of just how big, Canada is a country of about 40 million. And the numbers I'm about to throw off are evolving, all trending up. So, but this will give you some sense of scale. They have over 2,500 stores in this country. They claim to process about roughly 2 billion transactions a year. They boast that 90% of Canadians live within 10 kilometers of a location. Nearly half of the country, about 18 million and counting, are part of the PC Optimum plan. It's sort of like online, it's customer loyalty plan. 3 million of the country have President's Choice MasterCard. This is one of Loblaws' brand. So it'd be like the equivalent of 30 million Americans having a Kroger's MasterCard or Visa. That's the grocery side. They also own pharmacies, for-profit health clinics, a real estate investment trust. So obviously, because you've got to have a real estate investment trust to go with your grocery store and your pharmacy and your clinic and your grocery store. And then the grocery store itself has a bunch of flag brands. It's got Provigo, Zehrs, Fortinos, Independent, Real Canadian Superstar, No Frills, Maxi, TNT, Shoppers Drug Mart, and then of course Loblaws itself. It's into fashion by way of its Joe Fresh brand, and so that gives you a sense. So, you know, it is an absolute behemoth that has its tentacles stretching out into a bunch of core industries. And the way I put it was, effectively, they get you from cradle to grave around all the sort of necessities that are such a big part of our day-to-day lives. I hasten to add, they control 30% of the grocery market.
I mean, it really is incredible, you know, the extent to which Loblaws represents, I mean, a form of corporate monopolism that, you know, I certainly associate with the late 19th century and pre-antitrust 20th century. Like this style of kind of market segmentation where you can enrich this company or shop at it or patronize it without really knowing that that's what you're doing. I mean, David, in the list of things you just rattled off there, you mentioned Fortinos, which, you know, I lived in Hamilton, Ontario for some years. Like, I thought Fortinos was like a local supermarket chain. I was like, oh, that's cool. Hamilton has its own, like, you know, five or six big grocery stores, like supermarkets. No, apparently that's Loblaws as well.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You've also solved another mystery for me, which is, yeah, what's the difference between Loblaw and Loblaws? I actually wrote an entire piece on this without ever really understanding which of those was correct.
Because why would you, right? But it's like, oh, what's the company called? Loblaw. Oh, what store do you run? Loblaws. I'm like, why don't you just call it the same thing?
But well, and it also begs the question, like, what is a Loblaw? Is Loblaw a guy? Now we're getting into the weeds here, but what is the etymology of this company? What is that word?
It's someone's name that goes back to like the original Loblaw store from the early 20th century, but it hasn't really been associated with the Loblaw family for a long time. It became associated with the Westin. So it is a guy's name, but he's not on the money or anything.
Yeah, this is the saddest trust in like the history of capitalism. Like the bread guy runs the country pretty much. Like, how did this happen, right? Like the US has like the Carnegies and like, you know, the people who at least like, yeah, okay, they like massacred strikers and stuff, and Ludlow and like had Dashiell Hammett novels written.
Hey,
about
but
them.
they were patrons of the arts, so
yeah, but they didn't like sell groceries, right? Like there's actually like a product attached to it. They weren't like retail oligarchs in the way that the Westins are.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I sorry to interrupt you, but this actually had never really occurred to me. It's like in the United States, like the robber barons of the 19th century, they're all attached to like big industries that
railroads.
Are critical to industrial. Yeah, it's like railroads, oil,
steel.
Like, you know, steel, steam engines, things yeah. like that. You're right. This is like bread monopolism.